The title of my message today is God's Good Word. God's Good Word. God's Word is good. Maybe you're saying, I already know that, so why do we need a message about it this morning? But I wonder, do we really know that? Do we really know how good God's Word is? I've been doing a series on the goodness of God. If you've been here over the last couple months, working through God's good creation, God's good gifts, God's good discipline, God's good Savior, and today God's good Word. I believe that God's way is the absolute best way for us. He is good and His ways are good. In fact, not just good, they're the best. This isn't something we just do because of habit, getting together like this, or because someone else thinks that we should, or because it's maybe the cool thing to do. If it was just that, I would be out the door before you know it. If that's all it was, just that. But if God is truly the ultimate good, and His ways are the ultimate good, and they are recorded right here, then something has to change in my life. Something needs to occur. There needs to be some kind of response to that. Do you believe, do you really believe that His Word is good? How would you substantiate that belief? Or provide proof of that belief in your life? I'm wondering, would somebody be able to point to your life and understand and believe from the way you live your life or what you do that God's Word is good? Can you substantiate that belief? If you claim that, if you hold to that, can you substantiate it? Is there proof to that? Well, this morning we're going to look at Psalm 119, and I have 29 minutes to cover 176 verses. So it's going to be kind of a flyby, and I hope to pique your interest in Psalm 119, and today maybe would just be a start of looking at it, of a study for you this week or this month, this coming month, to study and read Psalm 119, to think about it, to pray about what it says. If you're familiar with Psalm 119, it is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's a poem, and it's an acrostic poem in Hebrew. Every 8 verses begin with a letter of the alphabet, every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is 22 letters. So 8 verses times 22 letters, you get 176 verses. And God's Word is the main topic of Psalm 119, His Word. It's referred to in many different ways: His laws, His precepts, commandments, His testimonies, His Word, of course, His commands, His promises, His statutes. God's good Word. So, my question this morning is, how good is it? How good is His Word? We're going to examine that. We're going to look through Psalm 119 with this question. Just how good is it? I don't know if you're like me, but my personality type, I'm a natural skeptic. So, prove it to me. You're going to need to prove something. Do you want to sell me something? You're going to need to prove it to me. I'm not going to just buy a product because you say it's good. Give me a scientific study that says that this product is going to be good for me, or this medicine, or whatever it is. Give me some kind of study, something that's proven. So as we look at Psalm 119, my question is, how good is it? And I think we're going to need some help. Because if you're like me, sometimes we read Scripture, we kind of glaze over. It doesn't really penetrate into our hearts, and I think it's because we don't allow it to. So let's take a moment. And I want to pray one of the verses in Psalm 119, verse 18. And that verse says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Let's pray. Lord, we ask this morning as we look into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to the wonderful things that are there for us. Help us to see these wonderful things. Help us to understand them. Help us to understand the good that you have for us in your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So how good is God's word? Well, we thought about reading the entirety of Psalm 119 this morning. I asked Vicki if she would want to do that, and her and I were not sure that would actually work. You know, because after about even what we've been doing, maybe 8 to 15 verses, people start to kind of glaze over a little bit. They're not used to long reading of Scripture. Most of us don't have the patience for it. In fact, I think in our society we could agree that our attention span is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. We just don't have the patience to listen for that amount of time. I was reading in Nehemiah this week. He's talking about the rebuilding of the wall. Once they completed the rebuilding of the wall, they came together for a celebration. And the people gathered, and Ezra stood up to read. It says he began reading from early morning until midday. So we could do that today and could see how that would feel, what that would be like. But it says that the people listened attentively. They were hungry for God's word. How good is God's word? I'm just going to do a flyby. Like I said, we're going to run through a lot of verses here. You can open to Psalm 119, and if you can keep up where I'm jumping around, feel free. But the first thing that I want to notice is that it's sweeter than food. What is your favorite food? Let me just yell out what your favorite food is this morning. Anybody have any? Okay. Keep going. Buckeyes. Pizza. Steak, cheese. Keep going. Anybody else? What is the most delectable food that you can think of? No cost, okay. You don't have to pay for it, all right? Bacon. Bacon, all right. That's got to be up there. I agree, Nathaniel. It's got to be up there. Verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Sweeter than food. They're greater than riches. What is the thing of great value in your life? What are you looking for? Maybe you're looking forward to retirement. Maybe you want a house. Maybe you want a new gaming computer. I don't know what it is that you might want. But verse 14 says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. His commandments are wondrous. Verse 27, I will meditate on your wondrous works. Verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Verse 18, I already quoted that. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. His word is perfect. Verse 96, to all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. In this next category, there are many verses. His word is righteous. Verse 75, your rules are righteous. 128, I consider all your precepts to be right. 172, all your commandments are right. And one of my favorite verses, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? by guarding it according to your word. By guarding it according to your word. It keeps us from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It keeps us from selfishness. Incline my heart to your testimonies, verse 36, and not to selfish gain. In verse 37, another favorite of mine. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. I had a friend of mine who recently, don't mind that, I'm not sure, we have a bad connection here. A friend of mine recently made me a box. I requested it of him. Isn't it a beautiful box? In fact, I didn't ask him, but he made it out of Bethlehem olive wood. That's pretty cool. I don't know if you can get Bethlehem olive wood just at any Lowe's anywhere, but I asked him, I said, I need a box. I told him, you know, when I was gone on sabbatical, I discovered that I had a problem. And I had a problem with this. Anybody else have a problem with this? I have a problem with this, and it's a problem why my attention span is so poor, is this phone, because this phone does not help my attention span. And so I noticed that I was very distracted with this, and so as our sabbatical went, I learned to put this away more and more. It was good for me just to set it aside. And I don't have anything against smartphones. I love them. So they're a great convenience. I use it a lot. But there are times where this is a big interruption in my life. In fact, sometimes it takes way too much of my focus and time. And there are associated gadgets as well. I have a tablet, too, that I use quite a bit. And so Mondays in particular for Doris and I, we have designated that as our Sabbath day. Sunday doesn't work for that. It's not really a day of rest for me. But Monday is. And so we have been intentionally setting things aside that day. And one of those things that I wanted to set aside is this, as well as at other times as well. But so I asked him to make a box that would where my tablet and my phone could sit inside of here. And so my idea is, on Monday, it goes in here. So if you try and text me, call me, whatever, hopefully I don't answer it. It's not that I need to lock my phone and I need to put a lock on here and give Doris the key. You know, that sounds a little legalistic. I'm a visual person, okay? And this helps me. This helps me. If I intentionally put it in here, and I remember why I put it in there, when I go to look for my phone, oh yeah, I put it in the box. I guess I'm going to leave it there. And I'll put my tablet in there as well. But, you know, often the things that I look at on my phone or whatever, they may have some value, but in comparison to this, they really are worthless things. In fact, anything really in our life, I think, any physical thing that we could have in this life is pretty worthless compared to this. And so I hope this helps me. And what I want to do is I want to take this verse and inscribe it on the top here. Turn my eyes from worthless things. Give me life through your word. I want to make an exchange. An exchange for worthless things for something that is vastly important. You could use this verse. You could put it above your TV. You could put it on your computer screen, maybe up in the corner. There would be a lot of ways that you could use this verse to remind us of what it is that we really want to focus on in life. So God's word is righteous. It turns us from evil. I don't know all the intricacies of the things that we struggle with in life, addictions, sin, But I believe any of them can ultimately be overcome through the power of the Word of God. And so if any of us is serious about overcoming sin or overcoming an addiction, I don't think you'll get anywhere unless you dig into here. Right here. I don't believe any significant victory will occur without devotion to God's Word. Think about it. It's not going to happen. If you're struggling with an addiction or sin, it's just not going to happen if you're not in here. So that's another verse that I would encourage you to add to your prayer. Verse 18, open my eyes. Verse 37, turn my eyes from worthless things. Make it a prayer to the Lord. God's word is truth, 142. Your law is true, 151. Your commandments are true, 160. The sum of your word is truth. Verse 29, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. God's word is wisdom. Verse 98, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. How many of you would like to be wise? Well, I hope most of you would do. But if you really want to be wise, you will be in here. You will be here. This is the source of wisdom. God's word provides understanding. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now, students, this isn't a thing where you can just like do this so you can stand up in class and say, I know more than you do, teacher. No, it's not a pious thing. But God's word gives us an understanding of how the world works, how he desires it to work, how he plans it to work, an understanding that we would not have without being in God's word. I understand more than the aged. Verse 100, 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Verse 130, it imparts understanding to the simple. This next one is familiar. The unfolding of your words gives light. Verse 130, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I think it's brighter than this flashlight. I couldn't find my big flashlight. God's word is our counselor. Verse 24 says, they are my counselors. Our strength, verse 28, strengthen me according to your word. And of course, my premise this morning, good. Verse 39, your rules are good. You are good and you do good. Verse 68, they reveal God's love and salvation. Verse 41, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. They're trustworthy. Verse 42, I trust in your word. They give life, verse 50. Your promise gives me life, 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. They comfort us, verse 52. I take comfort in your rules, O Lord. Verse 76, let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise. We are blessed. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 56, this blessing has fallen on me that I have kept your precepts. They're steadfast forever, O Lord. Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Verse 89, verse 152, you have founded them forever. They sustain us. They're our heritage. They're our joy. They're our great peace. Great peace have those who love your law. Verse 165. And I need to finish here this morning already. We've only looked at a brief part of Psalm 119. So it gives us an idea of how great God's word is. And I want to finish this morning with, what do we do in response to the wondrous word of God? What is your response to God's word? What do we do? And these responses are found all throughout chapter 119. In verse 1, we walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 166, I do your commandments. We read them, we know them, we do them. And about 20 times I counted is the word keep. Keep your commandments. You find it over 20 times in Psalm 119. How important do you think that must be? Not only is it important to read and to know God's word, but they're there for us to keep those commandments. I'll just give you a few. Verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Verse 4, to be kept diligently. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Verse 17, keep your word. 33, I will keep it to the end. 34, I may keep your law. 44, I will keep your law continually forever and ever. 55, keep your law. 56, I have kept your precepts. 57, I promise to keep your words. 60, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. 67, now I keep your word. 88, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. 100, I keep your precepts. 115, I may keep the commandments of the Lord. 129, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. 134, that I may keep your precepts. I will keep your statutes. 145, 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. 168, I keep your precepts and testimonies. You get the idea that maybe it would be a good thing to keep God's word. The psalmist talks about how he loves God's word. Verse 48, I lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. Do you love God's word? 97, oh, how I love your law. 113, I love your law. 127, I love your commandments above fine gold. . 159, consider how I love your precepts. 167, I love them exceedingly. Do you love God's commandments? How do you find them? Do you find them, maybe that seems like a weird thing to you, to love commandments. I don't know how many children love it when their parents give them commandments or things to do. Do we love them? Is it restrictive to us? Do we look at it that way? This past summer, we were traveling through some high desert in Oregon, eastern Oregon, and there were no services. It was desolate. There was nobody around for miles. I was glad that we had filled up for gas, because I think we went 200 miles without seeing really any kind of services at all. And we came up over this rise. It seemed like a very innocent rise. And the road made a sharp right. And see if I can give you a glimpse here. And it went down the side of this steep cliff. And it's called the Daughtry Slide. And I see why they named it a slide, because it feels like you're sliding to the bottom. It's about a 1,000-foot drop down into the valley below. And it's a bit, it kind of freaks you out a bit. We weren't really ready for it. And the thing that I think surprised us about this road is you notice there are no guardrails. Now, I can really figure out why they would have a road like this with it being so close to the edge where you would drop 1,000 feet off and have no guardrails on the road. It seemed puzzling to me, and I noticed when I looked out on the internet that there were other people that commented the same way, like, why aren't there any guardrails on this road? So, you know, I've decided that I like guardrails. I don't know. Do you like guardrails? I like them. I would prefer if there would have been one there, but fortunately we didn't have to, you know, experience what it would be like to go over the edge. But I did come across this picture of this road here, where, I don't know, they stopped. The story is that they stopped to take a picture, and somehow the vehicle disengaged from park while they were getting out of the vehicle and started to coast backwards, and the trailer came loose and spun around and perched itself on the edge of the cliff. They probably would have preferred some guardrails as well. But you know, it made me think about God's Word and what I appreciate about God's Word. It's like having a guardrail. I don't know about you, but going through life, I need guardrails. We all need guardrails to stay on the road. And I look at God's Word that way. In fact, back to verse 9, I love how this is phrased. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Now, I know this is just one translation, but it captures the idea for me of God's word, what it's like. It's like a guardrail, guarding it according to your word. So I don't know, sometimes we look at God's word maybe a little legalistically, and I was thinking of that as well on our trip. We can look at the Word of God and make it into some legalistic rules. And it reminded me of Illinois. And you're saying, Illinois, how does that remind you of Illinois? Well, let me explain. So we traveled all over the United States out west. We hiked high mountains. We were on the sides of steep cliffs, climbed through, yeah, just all over the place. And it wasn't until we got to Illinois that we saw some signs like this. So, I don't know about you, but does this really want to make you go swimming? I don't know. It doesn't want to make me want to go swimming. But anyways, it's kind of a terrifying sign, I find. But we just noticed that for some reason in Illinois, I don't really have anything against the state. It was interesting to watch that there were these signs everywhere, these kinds of signs. Let me just give you, here's another one. Be careful about all these things. Now, they make sense, but okay. And then there's all these little signs here. If you can read that, it says not a trail. So we're hiking along, and everywhere, he's like, there's this little red thing, not a trail. Not a trail, 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 not a trail. Now, we didn't see any of these out west, and there probably should have been some of these out there. I don't know where we were hiking. But I found it intriguing. Now, this one was a cool one to me with the picnic tables and things. Picnicking prohibited. I was trying to figure that one out, but I still haven't figured it out, really. So, here's one, no waiting allowed. Now, you got to be kidding me. Don't you all just want to wade in the water? I like to wade in the water, but there are fines. So anyways, we didn't wade in the water. So here's a nice list at the beginning of one of the trails. Do not hike off marked trails. Do not climb, scramble, rappel. Do not swim or wade. Do not bicycle. Do not pick flowers. Do not camp, do not possess. So doesn't it just want to make you go down the trail? This looks like so much fun. I can't do anything. Can I hike? Yeah. I love this one. I really don't understand this one here. This one's got to be from way back. I don't know. Pleasure cars only. Can anybody explain that one? I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. I didn't know if ours was a pleasure car or was a business car. I didn't know. So, anyway. So, you know, I just feel like sometimes we take God's word and we do this to it. Well, it's a long list of rules. Make sure you don't do this, don't do that, don't. That's not what God's word. God's word is good. It's good for us. Now, I understand it's good that I probably wouldn't walk off a cliff in the Illinois State Park. I understand that. But there's some common sense, too, that is involved in being in those surroundings. And so I think we need to be careful not to just make God's word legalistic. Are God's commands good? Yes, they are absolutely good. And we use them to guard ourselves. There's many verses here. Verse 10, let me not wander. Verse 157, I do not swerve from your testimonies. 59, I turn my feet to your ways. 101, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your law. 51, I do not turn away. 102, I do not turn aside from your rules. 110, I do not stray. Verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments. God's word is good. It keeps us on the path. One of the many things that is listed in Psalm 119 is the word delight. And I'll just read a few of them. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. And then you have 35, 47, 70, and 143, and 174. How many of you watched the Buckeye game last night? How many watched the whole game? Some of you watched the whole game? What's a game take? I don't know, what, three and a half hours, sometimes four, potentially? You know, I find it interesting that we can do that without any problem, but, man, read my devotions. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 15 for pushing it. What does that say? I'm just saying, what does that say about what we love? I wonder, do we love God's word? Do we understand how good it is? How good it is? Or if you're a gamer, how many hours have you logged on your favorite game that you play? How many hours? And think about it, if you took some of those, at least maybe a few of those hours and logged them in God's word, like, what do you think would be more benefit to you? Which would be the ultimate good for you? And I'm a gamer. I love to play games. I've spent many hours on video games. But what is the most beneficial? Where is the most good? And you could go down the list of whatever it is that consumes your time, whether it's your phone or Facebook or family activities or kids' sports games or whatever activity it is. What is it that you delight in? The psalmist delights in God's word. I need to wrap this up. So I'm going to just touch on a few more and then hit my conclusion. The word longing we find all throughout Psalm 119. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. I found four different verses that make that statement. Meditate. There's about almost 10 verses that talk about meditating on the Word of God. What does it take to meditate? It takes time. It takes setting aside time. And it takes knowing God's Word to have something to meditate on, to think about. There's about 5 verses that I found that talk about seeking God's word, fixing our eyes on his commandments, setting his rules before us. There's about 4 verses that talk about storing God's word in our hearts so that we will not forget. Scripture memorization. About 5 verses that say, I do not forget your law. Then we have words about declaring and testifying with our mouth about God's word, about putting our hope in God's word, about observing God's word, fearing God's word, being in awe of God's word, trusting God's word, being sad about people disobeying God's word, learning from God's word, rejoicing in God's word. There's about 8 or 10 verses that say, I will praise you for your word. I will lift up my hands towards your commandments. I love this one. 7 times a day, I will praise you for your righteous rules. Think about that. I don't know why he picked 7. 7 times a day, my lips pour forth praise. My tongue will sing of your word. And so to finish this morning, my question is, what is your response to this awesome word of God? What is your response? Do you believe that it's good? Be honest with yourself. We spend our time and our devotion and our delight on the things that we believe are good. That's what we do. So be honest with yourself. Do you believe that it's good? Maybe you need to bring your actions in line with what you say you believe. Is the guy who wrote Psalm 119 a little crazy? I think he is. I think he's a little nuts. He is crazy about this. You know? He is a fanatic. Because he believes God's word deserves radical behavior. Do you believe that? So what are you going to do? I have one application for you. We could talk about all the things that the psalmist talks about that we could do, but I have just one for you. I want to keep it simple. We're going to start here. Let's read it. That's my one application this morning. Read it. I know we don't read much anymore, and I know I've talked with many people say, I'm not a reader. I don't care. I don't care if you're a reader or not. If you believe this is important, you'll read it. So read it. If you believe it's good, you'll read it. It's the best way you could spend your time. Read it by yourself. Read it with your spouse. Read it with your children. Read it with your small group. Read it with those you're discipling. Obviously, all the things that the psalmist talked about apply, but that is my application I want to give you this morning. So next year is a good year. It's a good time to start a new reading plan tomorrow. If you're not on one, if that helps you in reading it, then by all means, do it. If you don't need a reading plan, don't do a reading plan. Whatever it takes, read it. We have Bibles in the library that are read through the Bible in a year. You can check those out. We've had reading plans. There's reading plans on our website. There's reading plans all over. There's some of the Bibles we have in the library. This is one of my favorite reading plans. Least recently, I've done it the last 2 years. Some great commentary along with reading through the Bible in a year. It's been a wonderful thing for me. I want to close with a couple verses. Joshua 1:8. This is God's word to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. And this last one, Colossians 3:16, is my prayer for you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God.